Svarno Pashas Lech Lecha. Wanted to speak about today the last perek in Pashas Lech Lecha, perek Yud Zayin, which deals with the revelation of the mitzvah of Bris Mila to Avraham Avinu, a discussion about the nature of Bris Mila and the changing of Avraham Avinu's name from Avram to Avraham. So with all of that for as our task tonight, so we'll take a look at the beginning of perek Yud Zayin, where it says that Vahi Avram ben Tishim Shon v'Sei Shoshanim, Avram was 99 years old. Vayira Hashem al Avram vayomer elav ani kel shakai. Hashem appeared to Avram. He said to him, I am kel shakai. His halech lefonai v'yeisamim. Walk before me and be perfect. So what's there's a lot to discuss in terms of the revelation of the name kel shakai. Going to gloss over that for tonight. I just want to start off dealing with the last four words of that pasuk. Hisalech lefonai v'yesamim. Walk before me and be perfect. So what's the implication of that? The Svarno writes as follows. Hisalech b'chol asher tifne sham. Hisalech walk means any road in life in which you find yourself. Lefonai, before me, kimistakel bi lodas durochai, kefi ha'efshar etzlecha. Look at me, pay attention to me, to Hashem, to understand how I act, as much as you can manage to understand. So Rabbi Kupperman points out in his notes, the way the Svarno explains these two words, hisalech lefonai, is somewhat different than the typical interpretation. Generally speaking, Hisalech Lefanai is understood as being one phrase. In other words, or the primary command of Hisalech Lefanai is Hisalech, you should walk, you are obligated to walk. So thus we find, for instance, the Targum Onkelos writes that Hisalech Lefanai translates as Plach Kodomai, worship in front of me. The emphasis is on Hisalech. According to the Svarno, the emphasis in the phrase is really on the word lefonai, in the following sense. His halech, walk, has the implication of, in all of your walks, in all of your involvements, b'chol his halechicha, anything you happen to be involved in, lefonai, there's an implied verb over here, his stakel lefonai, contemplate me. Contemplate my actions, contemplate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions in every aspect of life that you're involved in. And just to underscore that interpretation, the Svarno says it's ke'inyan. The way to interpret Hisalech Lefanai is similar to the famous pasuk in Tehillim, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. I have placed Hashem in front of me at all times. So in other words, the real implication of Hisalech Lefanai is that a person should always be conscious of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in whatever he happens to be doing. Hisalech Lefanai and Shivisi Hashem Lefanai Tamid are basically synonymous in terms of what they imply. Now this, I think, is significant because we're going to see that this leads into the Bris Mila, the mitzvah of Bris Mila. And indeed, we know that our minhag is that by a Bris Mila, this pasuk, Vayom Hashem al Avram, Hisalech Lefanai Ve'yesamim, is recited by the Mo'el at the beginning of the Bris Mila. So in other words, Hisalech Lefanai Ve'yesamim has a close connection to the performance of the mitzvah of Bris Mila. Why is that? So according to the Svarno's explanation, one of the things that's unique about the mitzvah of Bris Mila is that it's ever-present. Right? In other words, wherever the person goes in life, he has the sign of the Bris Mila with him, to remind him of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his life. So, if Hisalech Lefanai means be cognizant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu wherever you happen to be, the Bris Mila is the sign that will enable us to be cognizant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu wherever we happen to be. Okay. V'yesamim, continues the pasuk, and be perfect, perfect yourself. Uknei Hashleimu, says the Svarno, acquire the degree of perfection ha'efshar lemin ha'enoshi. Acquire the highest form of perfection that a human being is able to acquire, which is Haskel Vyodoa Osi Biyadiyas Darki. Try to look for the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts in the world And through analyzing the way Hashem acts in the world, you'll come to have a better appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Uvidamoscha elai kifi ha'efshar etzlecha. And try to be as similar to me as you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, try to be as similar to me as you possibly can. So Ve'yei Samim, according to the Sfarno, is very similar to a pasuk which appears later on in Chumash and which is darshened by Chazal, that Ve'holachto Bidrachov, you should walk in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which Chazal understand to mean that you should try to imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hisalech Lefonai Ve'yei Samim, be cognizant of Hashem wherever you happen to be in life. Be cognizant of Hashem of it at any point in life. V'yesomim, and try to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of the ways in which you conduct yourself. The pasuk continues in Beis. Ve'etna brisi b'eini uveinecha, says Hashem to Avram, I will place my covenant between me and between you. Ve'arbe oscha b'ma'od me'od, and I will increase you very much. Comments the Sforno. Uve ofen ze akim brisi itcha. The Sforno adds in two words. Uve ofen ze. Through this, I will maintain the covenant. Which means that basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying the way the covenant between Klal Yisrael and the Ribono Shel Olam comes to fruition is through Hisalech Lefonai Ve'yesomim. If you, as an individual, or Klal Yisrael as a people, are always cognizant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and trying to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Hashem, great, now I will make that bris between me, I will uphold that bris between me and you. What is that bris? So in Pasuk Zion we read, Lios lecha leilokim, I will be your God, ulezarecha acharecha, and I will be the God of your children. And comments the Sforno on that, ki tilamdem, because you will teach your children. We'll see in the Sforno, one of the aspects of Bris Milah, which he says is very important, is the notion of a bris which is created to connect the generations one to another. That's a very, very important aspect of Bris Milah. The bris binds the generations together. So because Avram Avinu is committing to Hisalech Lefonai Ve'yesomim, in other words, what's a bris? A bris is an agreement that has two sides to the agreement. So Avram Avinu commits that he's going to be committed to these ideas of Hisalech Lefonai Ve'yesomim, always cognizant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and always trying to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he commits to the idea that this is going to be passed down from generation to generation, taught from generation to generation, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on his end of the deal, says, so I'll be your God in response to your commitment to teaching these ideas from generation to generation. So something that you see in the Sfarno, again, it's subtle, but I think it's there, is that the idea of Bris Milah and the idea of transmitting Jewish values from generation to generation, the Hebrew term which we use for transmitting Jewish values from generation to generation is Talmud Torah, right? In other words, the Torah is the substance of the Jewish values that we have. Talmud Torah is teaching Torah to the next generation. Bris Milah and Talmud Torah are intertwined with one another, according to the Sfarno. Because the whole Yisod, the whole understanding of Bris Milah, is, or the Bris, even before we get to the Milah, but the whole idea of the Bris, which is represented by the Milah, which is represented by the circumcision, is this idea that, what is the Bris? The Bris is Klal Yisrael committing to teach all of the future generations the ideals of Hisalech Lefonai Ve'yesomim. So that's essentially Talmud Torah. In other words, we're passing on the Masorah from generation to generation. And the Bris is simply, you know, the Milah is simply the physical sign of that commitment which we have. So we've spoken about in other contexts, this idea which the Sfarno hints at is brought out in later Sfarim in greater detail. So we've quoted before the tshuva from Rabbi Akiva Eger in different contexts. So Rabbi Akiva Eger discusses a situation where there's no father to be machnis the child into the bris of Avram Avinu. So who should say the bracha of lachniso b'viso shel Avram Avinu if there's no father? So in the case Rabbi Akiva Eger was asked about, there was no father, but there was a grandfather. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says, when there's no father, the grandfather has a chiyuv to ensure the bris milah of his grandson, and can say, as correspondingly, the bracha of lachniso b'viso shel Avram Avinu. Why? So Rabbi Akiva Eger says, we find in the Gemara in Kiddushin, that there's a special obligation that a grandfather has to teach his grandson Torah. So since the grandfather has a special obligation to teach his grandson Torah, so it comes out that the grandfather also has the same obligation to be machnis his grandson into the bris of Avraham Avinu in the absence of a father. So it's apples and oranges. So good. So the grandfather has an obligation to teach Torah to his grandson. So what does that have to do with bris milah? But according to the Sfarno, again, I don't think you only need the Sfarno, but according to the Sfarno, brings it out with greater understanding. The whole yesod of the bris, what's the milah? The milah is the tangible representation of the bris. What's the bris? The bris is that that Avraham Avinu agrees that Klal Yisrael is going to pass on these ideas, ki tilamdem. You're going to teach these ideas of hisalach lefonai ve'yesamim to all the future generations. It's Talmud Torah. So, of course there's a correlation between bris milah on the one hand and Talmud Torah on the other hand. The bris is on Talmud Torah. That's essentially what the bris milah is all about. So that idea, I'm going to skip a little bit and then Be'ezus Hashem come back. That idea that an integral part of the bris is about teaching and molding the future generations comes out in further comments that the Sfarno makes as well. So he writes, later on in Pasuk Tes, the Pasuk says that Hashem, Vayomer Elokim al Avram, V'ato es brisi sishmar, you should guard my covenant, Ato v'zaruch acharecha l'dorosam, you and your children afterwards for all their future generations. Says this for, no? K'bo she'ani hinei v'risi itoch, right? This is just the flip side of what was said before. Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, my covenant is going to be with you, Ato shmar brisi, right, so I'm going to keep my side of the deal. You, Avraham Avinu, have to keep your side of the deal. Shim lo kein lo yakum habris. Right, otherwise you're not going to have a covenant. What is the covenant itself? So the pasuk says, "Zos brisi asher tishmeru beini uveinechem ein zarecha acharecha himol lochem kol zachar." Right, you have to circumcise every male. Unamaltem es besar or laschem v'hayula os bris beini uveinechem. Right, it will be a sign of the covenant. Right, the pasuk goes on to say, "V'hoisa brisi b'v'sarchem livris olam." My covenant will be in your flesh as a sign of this everlasting covenant. So, on the idea of la'os bris in pasuk Yud Aleph, the Sfarno writes, "Zikaron tmidi l'leches bidrachav." Again, reiterating what we saw sort of implicitly before in the Sfarno, the circumcision, the milah, is zikaron tmidi. It's a constant reminder, loleches bidrochov, to walk in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where did we say before about walking in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So that's hisalech lefonai ve'yesamim. That's what it means, you know, to be holech b'darchei Hashem. And in what way is the bris a constant reminder of that? Bioso kichosam ha'adon be'avdo. It's kind of like the brand that the master puts on his slave. He's put his sign, his seal upon us. And then he adds the following in Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'zeh kios os habris bozeh ho'ever hamesabev nitzrius bamin yore al hanitzrius hamechuvon babris. The Rishonim raised the following question, and we'll mention a couple of other answers to this question, other than the Sfarno's answer. So we'll see how the Sfarno's answer contrasts with the answer of other Rishonim. Good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make a bris with Klal Yisrael. That's wonderful. And he wants to have some kind of permanent sign in our bodies to remind us of the bris. That's also wonderful. But why the reproductive organ? I mean, of all places, you know, to choose in the body, to make a sign of the covenant. I don't know, stick a six something on our forehead, you know, have us all wear earrings. You know, there are many, many possibilities. Why cut off the foreskin? Why is the cutting off the foreskin a siman, a sign of the bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael? So we should be aware of the fact that Rishonim give various answers to this question, and I just want to review some of them before we see in greater detail what the Sforno says, because then we'll appreciate the Sforno that much more. Some Rishonim say, well, you should know, the Arla is really kind of an extraneous part of the body anyway. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't really need to create an Arla. It's, so to speak, like an appendix. It doesn't really do anything. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu symbolically wanted to show that we, human beings, finish the act of creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does creation 99.9%, but we finish creation by taking off this Arla. And the orla happens to be one part of the body which is really extraneous. You could do without. You know, if you take off one of your ears, okay, so that's not so extraneous. You chop off your nose, that's not so extraneous. You chop off your orla, so that's, you know, that's taking off something more extraneous. Again, it still kind of begs the question a little bit. Okay, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu Davka create something extraneous in that particular part of the body? It sort of just kicks the can down the road in terms of the question, but that is something that the Rishonim say. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim writes that the reason the Os HaBris, the sign of the covenant, involves removing the foreskin is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to curb our sexual appetites. That's, you know, that's Davka why the reproductive organ is the makom, is the place, you know, where the bris is made. It's not random, it's not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have picked any place on the body. The point is, the same way that we're cutting off the foreskin, so we're showing that, you know, we shouldn't be so steeped in that particular part of our existence. The Ramban writes similarly, Shesam zikaron be'ever hataiva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Davka made this remembrance in the part of our body that's associated with lust. Leval yishtam shubo rak b'mitzvah uvamutter. It's supposed to be a reminder that we should only use that part of our body for something which is a mitzvah and for something which is permissible, and not give in to the tremendous taivos, the tremendous desires that are associated with that part of the body, to be involved in various types of yisurim. So that's a mahalach, that's an approach that the Rambam, the Ramban, both say in understanding why the Ever HaZachrus, why it's the reproductive organ which is singled out for the sign of the Bris Milah. With that in mind, as a backdrop, it's easier to appreciate how the Sforno is really coming from a very, very different direction. Let's just read it again. It's in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Bios os habris bezeho ever. The fact that the sign of the bris relates to this particular organ, hamesabev nitzchius bemin. This organ is what makes the human race eternal. This is in other words, in the Rambam and Ramban, this organ is something which has to be curbed. It represents something, a part of our existence, which has to be somehow held in check, you know, that we shouldn't give in to the desires associated with this particular organ. In the Sforno almost is coming from the opposite perspective. The Sforno says, no, this particular organ represents something very, very beautiful. It represents the fact that we're going to have children, and after them, they're going to have children. And the human race is ongoing because of this organ. So that, using that organ, yore al hanitzchius hamechuvon babris. Using this organ is the organ in the body that represents eternity. Because the truth is, look, how do you show eternity, something that's ongoing, by using an organ of the human body, where we're all going to die? I mean, every part of our body is going to essentially disintegrate and become dust. The one part of our body which represents, I mean, it's also going to eventually decompose, but it represents the idea of something ongoing, something eternal, is the reproductive organ. Uvioso ever hatolodo, since it is the organ of procreation, Yore ha'os asher bo al hemshech habris al habonim. By making the sign of the covenant there, it shows that this covenant is going to be passed on to the future generations. So to some extent, this underlines even further the idea that we quoted a few moments ago associated with Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that the mitzvah of Bris Milah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah are intertwined with one another, because the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is bound up in a very tremendous way with the whole idea of Mesorah, of passing something on, passing on values and learning and understanding and perspective to future generations in a way that has a certain degree of eternity associated with it. The Ever HaZachros, that part of the body which is in which the Bris Milah is placed, is chosen, according to the Svarno, because of its association with something which is ongoing and eternal, and which not only is involved in the idea of passing something on to the next generation, but very, very literally and physically creates the next generation. You know, the very organ which creates the next generation should be the organ which is associated with the whole idea of the bris that's taking place between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So again, you know, this is a somewhat unique approach that the Svarno has to the mitzvah, which is different than the way that other Rishonim understand, you know, the placement of the bris itself. Just turn back to some other ha'aros, some other points that the Svarno makes in this discussion. So right after HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avraham Avinu, and he tells him, I'm going to make a bris with you. It says in Pasuk Gimel, Vayipol Avram al panav. Avram Avinu fell on his face. What exactly, why did he fall on his face at this particular time? So Rashi famously writes, Mimora HaShechina, he was overawed by the presence of the Shechina, of God's divine presence. She'ad Shlomo lo hayo b'koach lamod, v'ruach HaKodesh nitzeves olav. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that there's a mitzvah to have a bris milah, so all of a sudden he became an orel. He took on the status at that point of someone who's uncircumcised. And as someone who was uncircumcised, he realized they didn't have strength to stand up in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the understanding of Rashi. The Svarno has a different approach. The Svarno says that the nefilas apayim, the falling of Avraham Avinu on his face, is lekabel olav, is a motion of acceptance. You're telling me that we're going to have a bris together? I fall on my face, so to speak. Avraham Avinu is prostrating himself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a sign of acceptance. Ula holdos lokel yisborach al habris she'omer. And to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that he's giving him this bris. Rabbi Cooperman, in his notes, uses this idea of the Svarno to answer a question which bothers many of the Rishonim, and I think probably bothers many of us, you know, when we just go through the Chumash. That question is as follows. So at the very, a few psukim later, in Pasuk Tesvav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu that Sarai is going to have her name turn to Sarah, and Sarah is going to become pregnant and have a child. So Avram falls on his face, and he laughs. He says in his heart, I'm going to have a child at 90. I'm going to have a child at 100, and Sarah's going to have a child at 90? What's the tone of Avraham Avinu when he makes these declarations, when he laughs? So the Mefarshim all ask the question, it seems like Avraham Avinu is not disciplined in any way for thinking these things or for laughing. And yet we find at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, when Sarah Imenu laughs and has a similar reaction when she hears the news that she's going to have a child, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avraham Avinu and says, you know, Loma zat Sarah? Why is she laughing? In other words, Sarah's criticized for laughing. Avraham Avinu is not criticized for laughing. So the Mefarshim take pains to draw a distinction between Avraham Avinu's laughter and that of Sarah, starting with the Targum. The Targum in Pasuk Yitzayin translates the Pasuk we said before, Nefal Avraham al apoy v'chadi. V'chadi means he rejoiced. V'yitzchok, not that he laughed. Ah, come on, you know, tell me another one. But v'chadi, he rejoiced at the news that was being given to him. And according to the Targum, so the thought that Avraham Avinu has afterwards, is Sarah going to have a child at 90? And am I going to have a child at 100? Is not an expression of disbelief, but it's a rhetorical question. Really? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is so amazing that these things are going to happen. So what's pushing Mefarshim like the Targum to give this translation? Clearly, you know, it's something in the fact that the Torah records criticism of Sarah and no criticism of Avram leads us to the conclusion that whatever Avram said and did was apparently appropriate, whereas what Sarah did was not appropriate. But where do you see that in the Pasuk exactly? So says Rabbi Cooperman, perhaps based on the Svarno, an unusual answer to the question might be as follows. When Avram Avinu hears the Besara, when he hears this news, it says, Vayipol Avram al ponov. Avram Avinu fell on his face. So why did he fall on his face? So we saw before in the Svarno that falling on one's face is an expression of gratitude and an acceptance. So that perhaps leads the Mefarshim to understand that the Vayitzchok of Avram doesn't mean he laughed dismissively. It means he rejoiced. Because the act of falling on one's face is an act of hodaya, of giving thanks, and of kabbalah, of accepting an incredible piece of news that has just been given to the person. Sorry, Mary didn't fall on her face. So maybe that falling on the face, which takes place with Avraham Avinu, but is absent by Sarah, can account for how we understand that the reaction is a very, very different reaction, even though the words themselves that are used in the Chumash to describe the reaction are almost identical to one another. Wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. Rabbi Chananah ben Akasha.